Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. One sign of a return to normality. New York Times columnist Paul Krugman is doing his first in-person event since before the pandemic. It'll be at the 92nd Street Y on Sunday night. And that gives us an excuse for our latest visit by the Nobel Prize-winning economist right now. Among Paul Krugman's recent intriguing columns is one from last Thursday called "What If Things Are About to Get Better?" Can't wait to talk about that. Dr. Krugman, always great to have you on the show. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi there. Good to be on.
And since there is so much doom and gloom around all the time these days, let's focus right away as I bite on last week's column. What might be about to get better?
Okay. Almost everything, not everything, but almost everything that's going wrong economically right now is related to the fact that the pandemic ain't over. Is related to the to lingering effects from the previous waves of the pandemic and the fact that we had this Delta wave, which really knocked everybody back for a loop. If the pandemic is receding, and it does look as if it is, and if vaccination gets more comprehensive, which with the spread of vaccine mandates is probably going to happen, then a lot of things will start to improve. Not just the fewer people will be dying, but a lot of the economic scene will get a lot better too. A lot of the things that we're seeing, the supply shortages and all of that, are actually directly or indirectly the result of the pandemic, and will get a lot less severe once normal life can be resumed.
Let me ask you about an aspect of the supply chain problems. President Biden just got the ports of L.A. and San Diego to start working 24/7. Why would a COVID pandemic clog up the ports?
That's an interesting story. I mean, it's God, I sound like a professor, don't I? But anyway, the point about the ports is the ports are actually not processing noticeably less stuff than in the past. You know, the unloadings are proceeding at a normal pace, pretty much. What's happened is that we've had this incredible surge of demand, which is all pandemic related. Basically, people couldn't consume services, and so they bought stuff instead. You couldn't go out to eat, so you remodeled your kitchen. You couldn't go to the gym, so you bought exercise equipment. A few months ago, demand for durable goods was running more than 30% above pre-pandemic levels. So, and a lot of those durable goods, of course, come from overseas. So what's happening in the ports is not that the port of Los Angeles has somehow ceased to be able to unload ships. What's happening is that so much stuff is, you know, people are trying to buy so much stuff that comes in through the port of LA that it can't keep up. And so if the pandemic eases and people, you know, can start going back to the restaurants, can start going back to the gym, can start just sort of returning to a normal pattern of spending, then the supply chain issues will start to fade away, although, you know, it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, and I saw that you you cited improving statistics in your column about maybe things are getting better on the three C's: containers, which refers to this supply chain, COVID itself, and crime, which has been secondary to COVID in so many ways, that that surge in crime that we've seen over the last year, which is now beginning to recede. And I saw your tweet today about inflation, and this would be more good news, I guess. You wrote, "3-month core inflation. Why isn't everyone calling this a win for Team Transitory? What's Team Transitory?"
All right. There's an argument. And by the way, I got a lot of pushback on that, some of which was justified. The question, so inflation has been high the last, you know, this year. And there's one group of economists, which by and large I'm part of, who says, look, this is really mostly a blip, that underlying inflation has not gone up and or that hasn't gone up much, and that patience, this will recede. And then there's another, so that's Team Transitory, and then there's Team Permanent or whatever, which says that no, this is the 1970s redux. Now, it's an incredibly in a way, the weeds are so deep here, I don't even want to put a toe into them. How you read the various price measures is very much a matter of, you know, what do you choose to emphasize? The headline inflation, the top number is high. Core inflation, which is the normal way that the Fed tries to cut through the noise, which is to exclude food and energy. Core inflation, after having gone high for a while, has dropped off. But then there's a big argument about whether that's really telling us the story, how much of that is that, you know, used car prices were a big factor in core inflation a couple of months ago. They aren't now, but housing rents in particular seem to be rising quite a lot, and that isn't really showing yet. And you can argue around and around. I would still say that the balance of evidence is that this is a temporary disruption. It's associated with all of these things that we've been talking about in supply chains, and that it will go away. But the main thing is that you want to ask yourself what's the right thing to do, given that we don't know, given that it could go either way. And mm-hmm. I would still say that the risks of prematurely tightening, of raising interest rates, and turning out that was the wrong thing to do, are much higher than the risks of letting inflation run for at least another few months.
You know, there's a big social justice, economic justice question that I want to ask you about inflation too. Like, we generally root for inflation to be transitory, to be temporary. But I saw a take on TV last night from Derek Thompson of The Atlantic, and I hope I'm characterizing him accurately. But the way I understood it, he was arguing that the inflation we've been seeing might be a good thing. Why? Because the global economics that we've been pursuing for the last 30 years has been driven by low prices from cheap goods made primarily in China. But that came with declining real wages for most workers here, decline of the middle class. Now, because of the pandemic, labor refuses to work that cheap anymore. And so inflation, the result of higher wages, might be a sign of a little more economic equality creeping into the system. It made me think of your column about things getting better, because it would be yet another sign that things may be starting to get better in that way. But I'm curious if you see inflation right now in that same light.
Well, not much of the inflation we've been seeing these past few months is about wages. So the you know, higher prices of used cars is not doing anything good for the American worker. But we are seeing now significant rises in wages. We're seeing particularly extraordinary rates of wage increase in leisure and hospitality, pretty good wage increases across the economy as a whole. And just in general, we're seeing there seems to be a kind of you can take your job and you can take this job and shove it mood among American workers. The Times wouldn't let me use that as a headline, but but it's clearly what's happening. And that's a good thing. I mean, the workers are basically American workers have been really badly treated relative to their counterparts in other advanced countries. We're overworked. The population at large is overworked and underpaid. We have far less vacation than just about any other wealthy country. We have lower wages for ordinary workers than most other wealthy countries, and it looks as if the workers are kind of saying, you know, enough of that. I'm going to quit. I'm going to find. I hate this job. Unless you pay me more, I'm not going to do it. We were actually seeing a wave of strikes now, which is actually, you know, on a fundamental level, that's a good thing. It's saying that workers are feeling empowered. So yeah, I don't know if that inflation being the good thing, but a workforce that feels more able to stand up for its rights, that is a good thing.
And listeners, now you have a little behind the scenes glimpse of New York Times line writing. They wouldn't let Paul Krugman use the headline, take this job and shove it. Now, was that because it's a copyrighted title of something, or because that's shove it is too spicy for the New York Times?
Yeah, it's still the gray lady. We've gotten looser, but it's still a kind of Victorian sensibility about not using language that could be interpreted as being a little over the top. So, all right. Usually all right. I get it away, but they wouldn't take that one.
Before you go, you want to say anything about your first in-person event since the start of the pandemic, which also returns us to your theme of things are about to get better. I see it's Sunday night at 7:30 at the 92nd Street Y in conversation with MSNBC's Ari Melber. Why is this the moment you're going in person again?
Basically because vax rates are pretty high. New York is a place where everything is indoor events have vaccination requirements, and I've gotten my booster shot, and so I think we're at the point now where at least in high vaccination parts of the country, it's starting to become safe to go back to normal. And God knows I miss it. I mean, it's I've been living my life on Zoom like everybody of a certain certain class for the past 18 months, and I'm kind of sick of it. So I'm looking forward very much to being able to talk to a live audience.
And I see that's a benefit for the Y, because like WNYC and other cultural institutions, they've been hit hard by the pandemic economics. Have anything special you're going to do there Sunday night?
Nothing. To my knowledge, if there's going to be any stage theatrics, I don't think so. What I'm going to do is find out, actually, I actually haven't worn any of my suits in all this time. We're going to find out if my suits still fit.
Quick, you'll see if the 24-hour dry cleaning places still work. All right. Dr. Paul Krugman, New York Times columnist. He'll be in conversation at the 92nd Street Y Sunday night with MSNBC's Ari Melber. And thanks, as always, for coming on with us.
Thanks. Good to be on.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come.